Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning, and we pray that you would give us open hearts for what you have to say to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible with you, you might want to turn to Genesis chapter 3. Thank you again to the chooser of the passages, whose name is Charles, for he is blessed amongst West Hill Community Church members and elders. So another doozy this morning for me to preach on, and I've been wrestling with this for the last few weeks, knowing that it was coming up. It's a great passage, and we've given it the title, All Have Sinned, which caused us a bit of a problem at Moira in the office, and me. We were struggling this week because we have to put something up on the screens outside in the hallway when people are coming in and the cafe folk are coming in. And we thought that maybe just having All Have Sinned without a context for that might not be the most attractive. However true it is to say that, so we kind of worked our way around that. Moira and I, we worked our way around that to try and put something that was going to be a little bit more helpful. And actually, I hope that this will be helpful, for it is true that all have sinned. Romans 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned. I thought we might get the ending of it. And fall short of the glory of God. There is a great truth in that. There is no one in church, no one watching online, no one in the world today who is not without sin. There is only one who is without sin, the letter to the Hebrews reminds us, and his name is Jesus. So there is great truth in what we say when we say all have sinned, all are equal. There is no one here that is better than anyone else. You are a sinner, I am a sinner. Everyone around you in our communities, they are all sinners as well. Now, people understanding that will be quite a difficult thing. The only way you can really understand it is when the light of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, convicts us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. If we simply go around telling everyone, you are a sinner, I can almost guarantee you the response will be slightly negative. Because people have no way of understanding that. And the question, the first question for us this morning as we come to Genesis 3, and some of you will be thinking this, I know, even as Judith read it for us, you're thinking, this is an interesting story / myth. And you might be thinking, could this be history? Is this a historical account of something that happened in reality? And some of you are thinking, no. And you're kind of a little bit worried about this. Where are we going to go with this morning? Are we going to treat it as if it is history? Are we going to look at it in that way and say this is a historical incident that really happened? Now, is it history? It's a good question. People get hung up on this and they worry about it, particularly, in fact, the first whole section of Genesis, people worry about it. Is this a historical account of the creation and the fall? And it's good to think about this. Sometimes it gets us into trouble. I was once speaking at a university, St. Andrew's University. I was on a mission at St. Andrew's University. And one of the lunchtime, those of you who've been at university, you'll know the Christian unions organize these missions. And I was speaking at a lunchtime session, and then afterwards there was a question and answer session. And someone asked the question, and this was the exact question. They said, is the Genesis account of creation, i.e. Jesus created, God created the world in 6 days, is that true? Is that what happened? It's a six-day creation. And the finger was pointed at me as the speaker to give an answer. So I gave this answer. This is what I said. This is a very Anglican answer, I think. Anglicans are very good at sitting on the fence. So I said, on one hand, some Christians who are sincere believing Christians would say that it's a historical account, 6 days, creation. Others, on the other hand, would say that the 6 days is a longer period of time. And both things are held together. And actually, when you think about it, these events that we read about in Genesis are about the who and the why rather than the how and the when. And I thought, I think that's a fairly good answer that sort of gets me off the hook without me actually saying exactly what it is that I'm thinking. Anyway, two people who were on the team with me, who were, any Americans in? They were Americans. And any Americans watching, I'm in trouble probably for that. But they came up to me afterwards, and in not a very polite way, they said, "So when did you stop being a Christian?" I said, "What?" And he said, "Well, you don't believe literally that that happened." I said, "Well, I didn't actually say that, but you implied that some people can be Christians and not believe that it literally happened. And therefore, that kind of ruled me out from being a true believer." So I learned a lot that day. Now, do I think this is a historical account of an event that actually happened? Personally, I do. At some point, humanity began. And when the Bible tells us all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, we've got to have an explanation for how that came about. And this is a picture of how human beings fell from the place that God, the Creator, had created us to be in, i.e. to be in relationship with Him forever. So you might be worrying about whether it's historically true in all the details that are there. And for some of us, we're just saying, no, it's fine, I can accept it. So we have to have a little bit of space for one another just to have that little bit of a difference. But that doesn't mean to say that in any way we are undermining the truth of what God has revealed here in Genesis 3. You feel me? You get me? So we need to have a little bit of space, a little bit of generosity with one another about this. This is about the truth that God is revealing to us, that all of us, and in fact all of the world, all of the people in the world need to hear. So let's dive into it and let's try and understand what it is that God has for us. You see, what we learn in Genesis is that we were created to be in relationship with God. We were created to worship God. So actually, when the band are leading us in worship, that's what we were put here to do, to worship God, to be in relationship with Him. It's our destiny. It's what we've been made for. And as Christians, we shape our lives so that worship of God is at the center and everything else revolves around that and is born out of that. Living in that way with worship as our priority is the only way that we find true happiness, because it's the only way to fulfill who we are and what we're here for. And it would be great, wouldn't it, if we could just live our whole lives like that, so that we could just slip into our destiny and find ultimate happiness without any real effort whatsoever. But the reality is, life isn't like that. It's just not like that. We all struggle with worship. We all struggle to put God at the center of our lives. We all struggle to make Him first priority. We struggle, those of us who are Christians, and people around us will also struggle with that. You see, this is the story of Adam and Eve that we read about in Genesis 3, verses 1 to 24. Or we might call it this: when we get it all wrong, God still cares for us. See, Genesis 3 shows us how human beings get it all wrong. Rather than worshiping God and putting Him first, we put ourselves at the center of our lives. It's all about me. That's where Adam and Eve get it wrong. Something has gone horribly wrong. We were created to worship God. We were created to enjoy time with Him, to live forever with Him. In that seventh day, you know, the seventh day God rested, and we were meant to spend eternity with Him in a kind of seventh-day rest day with Him, worshiping Him. But something has gone wrong. For some reason, we don't desire or worship God. Or if we do desire him, we don't desire him quite enough. Or maybe we're even running away from him, running in the opposite direction, wanting to hide from him, wanting to cut him out of the equation of our life. Something has gone wrong, and we sense that and we know that in our hearts and in our heads and in our lives. And that something is described in the passage from Genesis 3. We read very clearly about how things have gone wrong. So let's focus in on the passage. I have 4 points for us this morning. The story starts with a talking serpent, a talking snake. Don't all good stories begin with a talking snake? It sort of draws you in. And this serpent makes a suggestion to Eve about the consequences of eating the fruit on the tree that had been forbidden.